Now, Advent season, it's all about the coming of the divine in human form to be our Savior. And we often forget what that's about or all that needed to happen before that could do. But this week we're going to take a little bit of a look at what had to happen. So let's turn our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. We're going to look at just verses 4 and 5 of chapter 4 at this point. Okay. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You and we do thank You for Your words. We thank You, Lord, for that Your gospel message can be summarized so in so short a phrase. And yet, Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would expand it for us and unpack it and show us what it is You would have us to learn from it today. Lord, reveal Yourself to us as You revealed Yourself to the whole world when You came. Lord, we ask that this evening Your hand of blessing would be upon those of our fellowship who aren't here. Some aren't here because fear of the ice. Some aren't here just because they have difficulties with their own personal health. And others aren't here because the world has intruded and put a barrier between their being here. Lord, we come against each one of these barriers and we pray that You would release Your people to gather and worship. That You, Lord, would make straight the way for Your people. That as the way was made straight for the one who came, You would make straight the way for those who come after Him and follow in His footsteps. Lord, that is us, that You would bring us together to worship Him in His glory. Lord, I pray for Your anointing to be upon me as I come and preach this morning, that You would use me to encourage and bless those who are here and those who hear this message, that each one here would know that they had heard from You and not from me. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Divine timing is what I call this. And what I'm focusing here is, but when the time had fully come. That phrase. But when the time had fully come. That is when we have the rest of the gospel message just laid out right here. It says, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Now, who here is a citizen of the United States? Who here is under the authority of the laws of the United States? That's everybody. Even if you weren't a citizen, you're still under the law, right? So it doesn't matter whether somebody is a citizen of the kingdom of heaven or not. They are still under the laws of heaven, under the laws of God. That truth is the reality under which we all live. It's the one that gets a lot of Americans in trouble when they go to other places in the world. They think that because they're American and they're some other country that somehow the American laws follow them. And that's just not so. When you go into another nation, you are now under their law. And guess what? Ignorance of the law is no excuse, no matter where you're at. It's the same with the world. Ignorance of God's law is an excuse. It doesn't excuse us of what it is. And the result of the law is that if anybody breaks any portion of the law, they must face the full penalty of the law. Thus, we needed salvation. We needed redemption. We needed somebody to pay the price because we can't pay it. We can't pay it and walk away free. We are under the law. The entire of humanity is under the law until Christ came. And then he provided the way. He was born of a virgin who was under the law so that he could provide the way for those up. What had to happen for that to come to that point? Divine timing. God needed to bring things together in His way, in His time, so that the gospel message could then be taken to the whole world. Now, there are entire books and classes taught on the subject of God's timing and what had to occur before God sent His salvation. I had professors who said, you know, the important thing about timing was when you look at the Roman rule, up until that time, you see, you had all these factions here. You had the Babylonians and the Assyrians, and you had the Greeks and the Egyptians, and then you had the Romans. And it wasn't until the Romans came that it was really possible for people to travel from one part of the world to the other. And there was a lingua franca, if you would, or a common language that most of the world knew. It was when these things came together that God brought forth the Savior so that the message could then travel around the world. Where previously, how did you get from point A to point B? It wasn't until there was this Roman Empire that contributed to the ability to move and allowed its citizens and peoples to move freely and provided and intentionally built ways for it to happen. They had shipping, they built highways and roads to accomplish these things. So we have people who say, you know, God did this, this, and this, and this in order to prepare the way so that the gospel could go forth. And when we look back on something, we can often see those things. If you look back through your own life, you can see how one decision that you made earlier was impacted by an earlier decision, and that decision was impacted by an earlier decision. You can work your way all the way back to an earlier cause. You know, it's all because my sister bit me. And then I take you through the whole cause of events to get there. Because my sister bit me, but it wasn't because she bit me that this happened. Oh, okay. Maybe you didn't have a sister who bit you. Maybe you had a brother, or a cousin, or somebody else who did something. But we can, or maybe just a neighbor. But we can follow our actions back. So we have Bible scholars today who look back and they look at what happened at that time. But the problem for us today is we don't have the benefit of 20/20 hindsight as we look forward. You can't see the future by looking backwards. And people didn't know what was going to happen aside from the prophets. The prophets said, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And people say, well, that doesn't sound right. Right? But then afterwards they looked at the prophecy and they looked at what happened and say, oh, those two match perfectly. Again, that's through 20/20 hindsight. But until they got to that time, they didn't have this. Now, what I want to point out here is that for hundreds of years, if not for 1,000 years or more, the Jewish people had been seeking a Messiah. They had wanted one. And they'd been praying for it and seeking it, but, you know, the Jewish people also kind of, you know, their piety and their following of God got strong, and then it waned, and they did a good job following God. Then they, oh, look, something shiny, and they wander off. And you see that throughout the entirety of Scripture. And we look at our own lives as Christians, and we see that in our own faith journeys. Very, very few of us have the steady, straight growth curve in our Christian walk. Most of our Christian walks look a little bit more of a drunken weave, if I might use that phrase, than a straight progression forward. But as we look at this, as we look back, we can then see how God caused things to happen. As I look back in my life, I can look and see how God caused things to happen one after another to bring me to the point that brought me to that decision point. Where God called me into the ministry. Where I said, okay, not only here am I, send me, but okay, here I am, I'm going. You know, many people go forward, here I send me, but we have this little accept clause that we're trying to drag along with us. I had one of those. And it wasn't until I shattered my leg in a motorcycle accident, because I said, God had called me to the ministry, and I had said, oh, I can't go. Why? Well, my wife was out of work because she'd been in a car accident. I needed to work. I can't just go off to school and, you know, and I'm not going to do this correspondence course. This was back in the day when correspondence course was done by mail. Okay. You know, the snail mail stuff where you put it in an envelope and a letter on it and stick it in the box and it comes back to you 3 months later. Okay. Not internet. Not email. But, you know, you fill out a book. You send it in, somebody grades it and sends it back to you. And you do this back and forth. And that was the only way I saw that I could do it. It's time I said, I'm not going to do that. And I can't take time off to go. Even though God had called me, I didn't trust him. Step forward. So I ended up with my leg broken and unable to work. I said, okay, God, I get the point. When you've caused things to be, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, as I look back, I can see that. But I can tell you, at the time that I was having my accident, I didn't say, oh, look, God's preparing the way for me. I didn't say, now has come the time for me to make the decision that, yes, I am going to go into the ministry. At that time, I thought, now has come the time to meet my Maker. I was wrong. I was certain I was right. Ever been that? I was certain I was right, but I was wrong. That's how we often are with what we think God should be doing. But God does it His timing, His way. And when He caused everything to come together, in the fullness of time, depending on your translation, but in this phrase, in the NIV, it says, but when the time had fully come. When the time had been completed, when all that needed to be done in preparation had finally happened. Well, now, if you had told me that in order for me to prepare to go into the ministry, I needed to have my leg broken, I'm not quite sure I'd have signed up for it. If you had told me that Donna had to be in a car accident and her shoulders messed up so that I would have to, I definitely wouldn't have said. But as I look back, I see all these things had to occur. Why did they need to occur? These things had to occur, provide that environment where I finally let go and said, God, I can't do it. I'll let you, and I'm just going to trust that you're going to see me through. Because Donna was out of work and I was out of work. Neither one of us could do it. Donna and I had both been working since somebody would give us a job. Okay. I started working when I was 11, 12, mowing lawns, babysitting, then working at Buck Hill at Elko Racetrack. Then when that 15, I got a job at a sandwich shop and then into a restaurant. I worked as a lifeguard. You know, I had multiple jobs at the same time. I worked for the high school. I've always had a job. I always worked. I always had money coming in. Donna, from when she was a little kid, her mom was a single parent. And Donna wanted something. She needed to come up with funds for it. Well, Donna liked clothes. Donna wanted clothes. So Donna went out and got work. She did babysitting. She started working in stores. Whatever. You know, at 18 years old, she was a manager at one of the East Coast drugstore chains. So working hard was something that we always did. We were used to providing for ourselves. We had to come to the point, though, where we couldn't provide. I couldn't just go out and get another job. Why? I can't work. I got this leg right here that... I mean, I was 1 year on crutches. Because it wouldn't heal right. Wouldn't heal fast. Well, these things all had to occur before I was in the right place, where Don and I were in the right place, that we would trust God. And we really learned to live by faith with God. Now it's not as big a deal for us to trust God. We're willing to step forth and trust God now. Why? Because God has shown us that He's trustworthy. He brought us to that place. It was in the fullness of time of preparation in our lives that we came to that realization. Now, God brought the Savior of the world to us in the fullness of time, where it was right where we as a world needed to be. Was it that things were worse than they are now? I mean, well, let's see. Yeah, things were pretty bad back then, but I wouldn't say that they're any better right now. In fact, I'm going to talk tonight about one of the issues that's right on our headlines today. On Friday, we had a terrible tragedy out east, where a man who was mentally ill and very upset with his mother killed her and then went and killed all her students and some other people in the school. And killed 20 children, plus like 7 other adults and himself. 28 people dead. It's a tragedy. Terrible. King Herod found out that the Messiah had been born, and then that he'd sent somebody to look for him, but then when they didn't come back and he thought they'd got away, he said, kill all the male children 2 years old and younger. in that community. Terrible things. Tragedies. Cruelty. Depravity of the human mind. It hasn't gotten any better. I don't know that it's gotten worse either. I think it's just changed. You know? So it's not that the world had to get better, because it hasn't. It didn't get better from the time that the prophecy that the Messiah was coming until he came, but certain things had to occur. And when we look back, we see what they are. And we can see God's hand moving through each one of these, and we can see through that. As I can look back now and say, oh, yes, that had to occur, so this could occur, so that could occur. It all makes perfect sense. In the fullness of time and divine timing, God sent Christ. And he didn't send him fully grown on a white horse. He sent him as a newborn infant lying in a manger. God's timing required that Jesus grow up on this earth, experiencing the difficulties of the world. God's timing required that these things happen. Why? I don't know for most of it, quite frankly, but I can point to certain things that show us that it shows the divine nature of Jesus. We can see that God's timing required that Mary come to be with child before Mary and Joseph had been married and they'd been together as husband and wife, because she needed to be virgin in order for there to be a virgin birth. Okay. God's timing required, though, that there be a father figure, that there be somebody to care, that Jesus would grow up with a father to love and provide, and so that had to happen. God's timing required that they needed to become exiles to Egypt, just as the people of Israel had been exiles, and just as we are currently exiles from heaven, waiting for that opportunity to enter into the promised land. My citizenship is not of this world, but of heaven. Right? But where do I live? I'm not living in heaven. I don't know about you, but this is not heaven. Okay? You know, we all make a joke. Yeah, Minnesota is God's country. It's, you know, I love Minnesota. But you know what? I haven't been to a place in this world where I haven't seen God's fingerprint all over it and loved it as much. The fact is that God's divine timing moves forward and it's perfect. So Jesus came right when it needed to be. And Jesus will return right when he needs to. When is that going to be? I don't know. I'll be able to tell you after it happens, though. I'll be able to look perfectly at the timing and say, ah, see, it, this. But until that time, all we know is that we've been told that we won't know the day or the hour. And that also means year. Okay, we don't know. We won't know until he says, hello, I'm here. But God's timing is perfect. And as we celebrate Christmas, the advent of the Christ child, the coming of our Lord, our Savior, our Messiah, let's remember that we look forward to his coming again. That God's timing was perfect then, and God's timing is perfect now. And he allows and in some cases requires that there be tragedies along the way. When God's people traveled in the wilderness, there were tragedies. Tragedies aplenty. When God's people were in the promised land, there were tragedies. Tragedies aplenty. And they, when we look back, we see how some of them had to occur in order for the people to learn. I had to go through what I had to go through for me to learn. For me to learn to trust God required that I go through some things. I needed to see God move, experience it, participate in it. God's timing was and is perfect. And even though I sit here and I pray, Lord, I want you to do this, and I want you to do this now. Anybody here ever pray for God's will and want it now? Divine timing. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus prayed. Why should I pray anything different? When we look at this section that I pulled this out of, it's all about the sons of God, sons and daughters of God, coming to know Him as Lord and Savior. What we see here is that God did it in His perfect timing. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law that we might receive the full rights of Son. To receive the full rights of His heirs. See, we can only receive these full rights as heirs in God's timing. We need to trust in it and know that it's perfect. As Him providing His salvation was perfect and is perfect, so is His return. It will be perfect. And we'll know it when we get there. When it happens, we'll be able to look back and say, aha! But until that day, we have to trust, knowing that the Lord is indeed sovereign. Trust in the omnipotence, the all-powerful nature of God, and the omniscience, the all-knowing nature of God. That He knows what needs to be done, and He is able to cause it to happen in the time that it needs to work out to the end that He is working towards. People, we need to trust in that. And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, is God's working out of salvation for mankind. The giving of us, of Himself, in the form of the Christ child, who was destined for the cross, that we might be redeemed. And thus become heirs of Christ. It needed to happen in that way according to His divine timing. But we trust that His timing has not changed, and it still is perfect. Let's pray. Father God, we come before You this morning. We give You praise. We thank You that, Lord, You've shown Yourself to be perfect in Your timing in all things. Might we now turn to You this Christmas season and say, Lord, we trust in You fully and completely. And we wait upon You and Your timing. And we work to do Your will until You call us to You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.